This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we come to our life-saving lesson, inshallah. Like, we need these lessons to keep going, subhanallah. Without this, life is very difficult. You know, you need to keep refueling your iman always. Otherwise, it's very hard to cope on your own and be, you know, cope on with all the things you have to go through, subhanallah. Okay, so inshallah, today, bi'idhnillah, the topic I've chosen to speak about is the true meaning of patience. How can we achieve patience, inshallah? This is something that it's really a struggle for so many of us, you know, to try to achieve patience. We talk about how to be patient, but how can we achieve patience? It's not an easy thing. So first of all, we have to understand what is patience. If you're going to try to achieve patience, you need to know what it is. Like, if we're speaking about the meaning of it in Arabic, like the Arabic meaning of it, it means al-habs. So it means to withhold oneself and restrain, you know, withhold oneself and restrain oneself. And if we're talking about it from the aspect of Islam, it means that basically keeping yourself patient upon ta'atillah, keep yourself patient upon the commands of Allah Ta'ala, keeping yourself patient away from ma'asi, like keeping yourself away from, you know, sins and disobedience, and being patient with what Allah Ta'ala, whatever Allah Ta'ala destines for us, whatever He's written from us from al-qada'i wal-qadr. So this is basically patience in Islam in a nutshell. Okay, so, but the ulama have, you know, gone into details about these three different types of patience. So the highest level of patience is keeping oneself patient upon ta'atillah. Now you might say, but what about being patient with, you know, trials? Yes, there's a huge reward and I'm going to come and talk about that. But we have to realize that you can even find disbelievers who make themselves patient with trials and tests. Sometimes you'll see a lady, for example, she lost her legs. She used to be a famous runner. You know, she lost her legs and subhanAllah, she made herself patient and she decided she's going to become a pilot and she flies a plane instead. So even non-Muslims can make themselves patient, but only a believer makes himself patient upon ta'atillah. It's not an easy thing. It's very easy to take your shahada and say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It's easy to do that. But what's hard is to stay steadfast on that path. That's where the real test comes. What's hard is waking up every day for Fajr. Every day on time for Fajr. Keep praying always my prayers, struggling to pray my prayers. Continuing to stay steadfast on my hijab. When we see so much pressure on women today, you know, like with Instagram, Snapchat, all these pressures, you know, sometimes you might not, maybe you start to feel you're not attractive enough with your hijab, things like this. So by you remaining patient on your hijab, despite those pressures, that's why you get such a high reward for this. Keeping yourself patient upon ta'atillah. Keeping yourself patient in coming to lessons. Keeping yourself patient in learning Quran. It might take you years to learn Quran, but you keep yourself patient in learning Quran. Only the chosen people, only those who Allah loves, Allah keeps them patient on these paths. Because not everybody stays on this path. You only have to look at how many people are taken away from these paths. So if you find yourself steadfast on these paths, this is inshallah a very good sign for you. But realize that that is the hardest patience. The hardest patience is staying stuck and steadfast to the path of Allah Ta'ala until you meet with Allah. And you only have to look at how many people who fall off the path to realize that it's not an easy thing to achieve. Okay, so that's the highest level of patience, keeping yourself patient upon ta'atillah and then keeping yourself away from muharramat, from what Allah has forbidden. That's also a very high level of patience. It's so easy to go, like, look at the country we're living in. Look at the environment we're living in. It's so easy. Any minute you want to go and do haram. It's all around you. You've got the total freedom. No one's going to stop you. No one's going to stop you. And there's nothing anyone can do to stop you. Right? You've got it all there waiting for you if you want. But the fact that you keep yourself strong and you keep yourself resilient away from falling into these muharramats, that's why there's such a high reward for it in the akhirah. Because the only reason you're choosing to do that is from your yaqeen in your heart, from your iman in your heart, and from your ihsan, knowing that Allah sees you. Knowing that Allah's watching you, that's what's keeping you away from going to that haram that's around you. You know, if something comes up on your, you know, you're looking at through Facebook, you're looking through Instagram, you're looking through Snapchat, and you see something that you know it's haram to look at, and you turn your eyes away. No one's watching you. But what's the reason you turn your eyes away? Because you know Allah is watching you. You know that by looking at that image, any type of fitna that you expose yourself to, it has an effect on your heart. It's going to blacken your heart. Anything you look at, anything you listen to, it's going to blacken your heart if you know that it's something that's toxic for your heart. That it's a, you know, you look at something toxic, you look at fitna, it will have an effect on your heart. And you know that Allah is watching you. He's going to call you to account for this. So, you know, keeping yourself patient away from the haram, my dear sisters, that's why there's such a huge reward for it. Like I said, only the believer keeps himself patient upon the obedience of Allah and keeps himself patient away from the haram. Because the disbeliever, although they might be patient with, you know, they might be patient with life's trials, but they can't be patient with keeping themselves away from their lusts and desires. Because they basically, they live their life indulging. Their life is indulgement, you know, indulging in the pleasures. They don't have restrictions. Okay, but as for the believer, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Like, the believer is the one who they fear Allah and they believe in al-Jannah, they believe in the words of Allah, they believe in the promise of Allah, and that's why Allah opens the paths of khair for them and makes good deeds easy to them. But that's unlike the disbeliever, subhanAllah. So then the third type of patience, like I was saying, is the patience with al-qada'i wal-qadar, like with what Allah Ta'ala has destined for you, whatever Allah has written for you, that you make yourself patient with that. And we have to realize that whatever Allah has destined for us, there's good and evil. Everything that we are tested with both. People have a false idea that they think that when testing is only through hardships. But the reality is being tested with ease is harder. Because when you're tested with hardship, it brings you back to Allah. Straight away you start making dua to Allah, you make tawbah, you know, you get close to Allah. But you know what's really hard? Being tested with ease. How many people fail this test? Go look at the majority of people in this country, like from Muslims even, who drive luxury cars or have luxury houses. Show me how many of those go to lessons, learn Quran, give sadaqah, you know, close to Allah Ta'ala, pray their prayers on time. How many? It's only very, very few. Like Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Like, very few of my ibad will be truly grateful. Gratefulness is shown through using Allah's blessings to please Him. But the majority of people, once they get those blessings, they actually go further away from Allah. They don't come close to Allah through those blessings. So that's why I don't think that tests are only through hardships. Allah says in the Quran, وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you with both the shar and the khayr. We test you with both. But, so when a believer is tested with, when you're tested with ease, when you find life is going well for you, alhamdulillah, Allah open his blessings for you, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, you have a warm family, a warm and supportive family. You have maybe a warm, supportive husband. You have kids, mashallah. You know, you have everything going well for you. Realize what's upon you is to be grateful to Allah. Show thankfulness to Allah. This is how we respond to this test. This is how we should be responding to this test of being tested with ease and with blessings. But when you're tested with what's difficult for you, when you're tested with what's hard for you, that's when we have to respond. A believer responds with sabr, with patience, with submitting, surrendering to the test. You know, think about what is the meaning of Islam. The meaning of Islam. What's the meaning of being a Muslim? It comes from the word istislam, surrendering to Allah. So you show your Islam by the way you surrender to the tests that Allah chose for you. You show your Islam through that. You show your Islam through your heart, the way you surrender to your heart, and you say, "This is what you've chosen me for me, Ya Allah." Then I surrender to it. If this is what you have chosen for me, Ya Allah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You show your istislam through what you say with your tongue. You say, qadrallahu ma sha'a fa'al. Whatever Allah has destined has happened, and whatever He wanted has happened. You know, like you show your istislam, you show your Islam through what you say, and you show it through your actions. How do you show it through your actions? When you're tested, you don't start leaving your prayers. You don't start leaving your five prayers. You don't let that test cause you to do haram. You know, some people, when they tested, they start screaming. They start breaking things. They start smashing plates. They start smashing glasses in their house. That's not from patience. That's not from patience to do that. So Allah's watching us, and He's watching how we respond to the tests. And you have to realize, my dear sisters, that it's up to you. Patience is a choice. Patience is a choice. What do you think that breaking the glasses is going to help? It doesn't help. It actually makes you feel worse. And the same thing, like I'm going to give you some, let's give some real life examples. Like our children test us. Our husbands test us. But let me tell you, you'll learn. As time goes by, you'll learn that screaming doesn't help. It only makes you feel very, very, like it has a very bad psychological and physical effect upon you. So there's no use screaming at your children. You need to learn just to take things in your stride. Just calm down. There's no use. Like whatever happened, your screaming is not going to change the situation. It's only going to make it worse. It's not healthy for you. So you learn to step back and realize patience is a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice in how you're going to respond. But whatever you do, it's not going to change the situation. So why not just seek the reward? Why not just seek the reward? Remember Allah. Try to say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." If you're feeling very tested by your child or by your husband, say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." Seek protection from the shaitan. Ask Allah to give you strength. You know, one of the du'as we should always say when we're feeling tested is "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." There is no, you're saying, "Ya Allah, there is no ability and no strength except with you. Ya Allah, I have no ability. I have no ability to be able to overcome this trial. I have no strength to get this through this trial except with you, Ya Allah." That's why I always say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Even if you're feeling angry, like I know myself, I get road rage. I'm going to admit it. I'm in a hurry to the lesson and I get this person going on 20 miles an hour. I'm like, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Actually, I learned this from a very, mashallah, righteous family that I, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me in knowing them when I was in Saudi. That, you know, if you've driven in Saudi, you'll know the level of patience you have to have. Driving in Saudi teaches you patience. We don't understand that in Australia. No, you don't understand in Australia. Like, I'm sure those of you who live in Indonesia, that you have to drive in Indonesia, the traffic jams, or I know I went to Philippines, traffic jams go for, they go for hours. Like, we get upset, we're, you know, in the traffic jam going up Juno Parade, we're like, we can't even handle it, you know. Like, overseas is way worse, right? But what I learned from him was, he, like, all he used to say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I learned that from him, subhanAllah, this is, mashallah, you know. And honestly, it helps you. When you say dua, remember, when you mention Allah, the shaitan goes away. That is honestly, sisters, that is the key to helping yourself be patient with everything. The dhikr of Allah. You have to keep on dhikr of Allah. Dhikr Allah keeps shaitan away. But the minute you stop dhikr of Allah, the minute you stop your connection with Allah, shaitan comes back. You leave a hole for shaitan to come through. And then your doubts start coming in your mind. You start thinking too much. So keep yourself busy with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether through Quran, whether through your adhkar in the mornings and the evenings, whether just saying subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, saying ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika astaghithu aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Oh ever living, oh self, you know, the all sustainer, bi rahmatika astaghith, with your mercy I seek your help. I turn to you with, and I seek your help. Aslihni sha'ni kullahu. Rectify all of my affairs. Wala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. And don't leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye, because I can't survive. I can't cope on my own. I can't get through these trials on my own. This is why we have to say these ad'iyya. What made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so strong, my dear sisters? What made the Sahaba so strong that they were like mountains in overcoming their trials? Because they had that strong connection with Allah. That's the problem with us. Why aren't we able to get through our trials? Because our connection is very weak. Our connection is so weak. But the way to get back is you have to work on it, sisters. You have to make that jihad. You have to make that striving in getting back your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the test is what wakes you up. When that test comes, it's what wakes you up. It makes you realize that you have been away from Allah. That's why Allah's waking you up from His mercy. He's waking you up because He wants to bring you back. Put you back on track. Because you're on this path to Jannah. That's the path of the mu'min. The mu'min is on a path to Jannah. This is not your home. The dunya is not your Jannah. The dunya is the Jannah of the disbeliever. Why? Because what's in the hereafter? Yani, they don't have, the hereafter is not for them. That's why this life is their Jannah. But for the believer, this life is a sijin. This dunya is a sijin. Why? Because what Allah has prepared for the believer in the next life makes this life look worthless. It's nothing. So that's why it's a sijin, because you're actually a sijin. You're in a prison because you're being prevented from what Allah has prepared for you in the next life. So that's what you have to keep in your mind. But you're not going to keep that in your mind unless you're always connected to Allah, because that's what gets you back on track. But if you're mixing with people who only talk about dunya, and all you expose yourself is dunya, like going on Instagram and Snapchat and looking at people, you know, enjoying in the pleasures of this world, and you start feeling sorry for yourself, and, you know, dunya starts filling your heart, then you forget about what is your ultimate struggle. Then you forget about what's your ultimate goal in this life. See, that's what makes you not feel patient. The only reason you don't feel patient is because you have too much dunya in your heart. Let me tell you, that is the honest truth. The only reason we're not patient enough is because we have too much love for dunya in our hearts. SubhanAllah. If we were able to reach a level where we filled our hearts with Allah alone and we detached ourselves from this dunya, trust me, we'll be able to be patient. You know, that's why, subhanAllah, you look at great scholars like Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and he said that, jannati fi sadri, like, Jannah is in my heart. Jannah is in my heart. Like, so you can't take anything away from a believer. The reality is, if you're close to Allah, then you've already entered Jannah before the next life. Do you understand? If you've already established that strong connection with Allah in this dunya, through your Quran, through your prayers, through your khushu' in your prayers, through your remembering Allah, if you taste the halawa, if you taste the sweetness of worshipping Allah, fasting for His sake, standing, you know, in prayers and reciting Quran, you know, all the sweetness that you feel, like going for Hajj, Umrah, all of the, you know, the different acts of ibadah that Allah has given us, giving sadaqah, you've tasted that sweetness, you've already entered Jannah in this dunya before the Akhirah. That's why you can't harm a believer. Ultimately, you cannot actually harm a believer. So if we're being harmed, we have to realize we need to step closer to Allah, because if we step closer to Allah, then no one can actually harm us, because we have Allah with us. So nobody can actually harm us, subhanAllah. So the first step in how to be patient, you have to seek help with Allah. Don't try to do it on your own. You can't. You're only weak. We're all weak. We're all human beings. At the end of the day, we're all blood and flesh. We all have emotions. We all feel. It's hard for all of us. But you have to ask yourself, why are some people able to do it and others aren't? Why? Because like I'm saying to you, it's these things. Number one, most important thing is asking Allah for help. Always continually ask Allah to give you the patience. Like Allah says, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Be patient and know that patience is only through Allah. And you know, if a non-Muslim can do it, you can do it even more, because they're only doing it, you know, for something in this dunya, but you have the hope of the reward with Allah. Like nothing is lost. Whatever you go through, nothing is lost for you in the Akhirah. You have that hope in the next life. So subhanAllah, sisters, it should be actually easy for us to be patient than what we see with some disbelievers who are able to be patient. And then, besides that, my dear sisters, patience is a learned trait. It doesn't come naturally. Okay? You have to realize patience takes practice. And it's a learned behavior. So you actually have to teach yourself patience. You have to strive to become patient. You won't be naturally patient, but you'll see, my dear sisters, that over the years, different experiences that you go through, Allah increases your threshold. He raises your threshold. Like, I remember when I had my first baby, I was like, oh my God, this is so hard, you know? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with twins. After that, I said, mashallah, one baby, that's a piece of cake. So that's the thing, sister, that's alhamdulillah, nice test, but trust me, when you know, people always say, I'd love to have twins. Trust me, go have twins. Yes, it's beautiful, alhamdulillah, like when they're 20. But if you have to sit on the couch for 6 months, not doing anything except feed, change, and try to put your child to sleep that doesn't want to go to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning, or even 5 o'clock in the morning, then yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, do you understand, sister? So everything we go through, you'll see that Allah's training you. And like that's, I'm just mentioning something. Like there's been, alhamdulillah, there's been plenty of other tests that I've gone through way that supersede that, okay? But what I know is, like, sometimes I've questioned myself, like I think, you know, you've got to always ask, what does Allah want me to learn from this test? There's always goodness. And that's the problem. We're always looking for the bad, but you need to look for the good. You need to question yourself and ask, what is Allah trying to teach me through this test? Because there's so much you can take away from this. How many people can you help later on in life through this test? I know sisters who were, sorry to mention, but I'm going to say it. I know sisters who were, you know, sexually abused when they were children. I know sisters who were, they've gone through domestic violence, you know, very severe cases of domestic violence, things like this, you know. But subhanAllah, they have taken those experiences as you know, as something, they've changed that huge trial into using it as a blessing. They've converted what their experience, you know, into something to use it for the khayr. And now they help other sisters. They help other sisters to overcome this trial. See, so that's what you've got to understand. If you've gone through something, you should try to tap into those resources. There's so much Allah has taught you. There's so much Allah has taught you, my dear sisters, through whatever you've gone through. And there are so many people in need for you. There are so many people in this world who are in need for your help. And if you can put your energy into helping those people, trust me, it's one of the best therapies to overcome whatever you've gone through. It's one of the best therapies to make yourself busy in helping others. So, for example, a sister who's been tested with a special needs child. That's a very huge test. But if she uses that to help others. You know, alhamdulillah, I saw recently there's now a cancer group for sisters. So, they're getting together and they're supporting each other. And we really need things like this in our community. You know, so those sisters who have been tested with this trial, they're helping others to become resilient through this trial. So you, whatever test you've gone through, my dear sisters, reflect on it and think about how you can help others. And if you do this, I'm telling you, it's the best therapy to overcome whatever you've gone through as well, inshallah. Okay, so like I said, patience is a learned behavior. It's not something that comes naturally. We have to strive. We have to take the steps towards being patient. But then when you take those steps and you have ikhlas for Allah, like, why are you trying to be patient? You're trying to be patient because you want with Allah. You want Allah to be patient. You want Allah to be pleased with you. You want to buy the pleasure of Allah. There's different ways that we can buy the pleasure of Allah in this life. You know, like what we have to say, we want to buy Jannah. You want to buy Jannah. Jannah comes at a price. And how do you get the Jannah? It's through pleasing Allah. So you want to buy the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how do you do that? You can do it through ibadah, through exerting yourself in ibadah, through worship. You can do it through you can do it through embracing your trials. Whatever Allah throws at you, you embrace it and you use it to buy the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that trial. So think about your patience as an act of ibadah. It is. If you embrace if you embrace this trial for the sake of Allah, then it becomes an act of ibadah for you. And the person who's in a trial, they're like in a continual state of ibadah, as long as they're being patient with that. They're in a continual state of ibadah. Who can pray all day? Put your hand up if you can pray all day. Who can fast every single day? None of us. But the person in a trial, that's why, you know, subhanAllah, like that's why Islam forbids mercy killing. Islam forbids mercy killing. Like when someone is suffering from an illness, we say it's not allowed to just go and end their life. Because you don't realize how much this person is being expiated from any sin that could be on their body, and how much they're being raised in their level in Jannah. And they're in a continual state of ibadah. Like maybe they spent their whole life hardly praying to Allah. Maybe they spent their whole life, they missed fasts, they did all these things that, you know, they didn't go to Hajj, they neglected the commands of Allah. But then in the end of their life, Allah puts them through a very great sickness and He purifies them by that, and He forgives all that they did in their life and all the negligence that they did in their life. He forgives them through that. So they're in a continual state of ibadah. SubhanAllah. So this is what we should be thinking about. You know, when you're in that, embrace the trial and realize that you're in a state of ibadah, inshallah, as long as, you know, but you have to keep on reminding yourself to get yourself back into that state, inshallah. And this is a sabr and jameel. This is the beautiful patience. Okay, this is the beautiful patience that we reach. This is how we reach it. By surrendering our heart to the trial, like I said, by only saying what pleases Allah, not saying something that goes against the displeasure of Allah. Like, there's nothing wrong with stating to someone what your condition is. You know, like, I have been feeling pain in my my body and I've been having this happen to me, and there's nothing wrong with stating that, but you have to be aware of your intention, that it's not out of complaining, you know, to the creation, because what can they do? Of course, it's a doctor, they're coming to ask you, how do you feel? You don't say, oh yeah, I feel fine, because you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, so there's nothing wrong with stating your illness or what you're going through, but what we have to be aware of is saying forbidden speech, like, oh, why is Allah doing this to me? Why me and not someone else? Oh, why does Allah give them and doesn't give me? That's the forbidden type of speech. That's the speech that goes against surrendering to al-qada'i wa al-qada'. And then besides that, like I said, look at your actions. Yes, you might go through a very big trial that you're not able to maybe pray all your sunnah prayers as much as you used to, but it should never go to your fad. Those trials you go through should never start affecting your fad. So whatever Allah's made fad, whether it's your hijab, whether it's your five prayers, whether it's your fasting Ramadan, you know, your zakah, your trial should not reach the level where it starts to affect your fad. That's not showing that. The reality is that it is a lack of patience to not, do you understand, to go against that. Okay? So it's showing in your body that you haven't got patience. Like, for example, I'll give an example. Like, I remember hearing once this family, like, of course they didn't have much knowledge and everything, but their son died in Ramadan. So they said, I'm not going to fast in Ramadan anymore. Like, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah took my son in Ramadan, so I'm not going to fast anymore. You know, what's that? Do you think you're going to harm Allah by not fasting in Ramadan? You're only harming yourself. And you forgot all the other blessings Allah gave you? Did you even forget Allah gave you a son in the first place? You understand, subhanAllah? So this is how some people, that kind of attitude is haram. To say that I'm going to rebel against Allah because Allah hasn't given me what I wanted, Allah's trialed me, so now I'm going to go into rebellion against Allah. That is haram. Okay? So that's what we have to stay away from that. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with opening up your heart and crying to Allah and complaining to Allah. In fact, Allah loves us to complain to Him. And, you know, there's something, you know, it's sad that we don't use this as a therapy, but it is actually one of the greatest therapies. But we don't, and if we did that, we would get so close to Allah, subhanAllah. We don't use this, but honestly, wallahi, it's the best therapy. If you were to go into sajda and you were to let out your feelings in your sajda and just cry and just say whatever you want in your sajda to Allah, how you feel, even though He knows, but you say it to Allah, how you feel, you know, what you're upset about, just get it all out of your chest. I'm telling you, dear sisters, if you did this, you'll come out of your prayer and you will feel healed. You'll actually feel healed, and subhanAllah, Allah loves that you did this. You have no idea how much Allah loves that you did this. You know why? Because it shows your ikhlas. It shows your sincerity. It shows your ubudiyah. It shows your servitude to Allah, that you're really just showing your complete poorness to Allah, that you are completely weak. You are completely in need. And if it's not for Allah, you cannot survive. And Allah loves this. Allah loves this attitude from a believer. And this is the greatest way to actually to overcome a trial. If you show that poorness to Allah, if you make dua in a state of poorness, that is one of the greatest ways to have your dua accepted. Just so you know, the greatest way to get out of a trial and to have your dua accepted is to call upon Allah like the state of a person who's in desperate need. When you call upon Allah in that level, That is actually there's one of the secrets to having the dua accepted. So let's talk about some of the ways that you can be patient. Number one, you need to constantly remind yourself of the reward for the one who's patient. Don't think anything you do is just forgotten with Allah. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah does not forget anything. Everything is recorded for you. And that's the beauty of being a believer. Like, that's something, unfortunately, it's sad. We feel very sad, but the disbeliever does not enjoy this. whatever they do in this life from patience, it's all, they just get whatever that, yani, they get the reward for that in this world only. They get the reward for that in this world only. But for the believer, you get rewarded for it in this life and the next, inshallah. In this life and the next. It's nothing is wasted with Allah. Nothing. Not even a prick of a finger, as I'll come to. But let's talk about some of the rewards. So first of all, from the rewards of those who are patient, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves the patient. So the more that you strive to make yourself patient, like I said, the more you get close to Allah. The more you bring yourself closer to the love of Allah. Allah's love increases for you. Subhanallah. Allah, you know, you bring yourself in a state where Allah's love is increased for you the more that you are patient for His sake. And so this is one thing you should remind yourself, that if you're being patient for the sake of Allah, realize that, you know, Allah's love is with you. Allah's love is with you as long as you've got that ikhlas for Allah, as long as you've got that sincerity for Allah. And Allah tells us that when He loves a person, I want to remind you of what happens. What is the state of a person who Allah loves them? That Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, I am His hearing with which He hears, His seeing with which He sees, His hand with which He strikes, and His foot with which He walks. And were He to ask of me, I would surely give it to Him. And were He to seek protection from me, I would surely grant it to Him. So that person who gets themselves into that state where Allah loves them, they get their dua answered by Allah. They get their dua answered by Allah. That's why the person who's lying sick on their bed, they have more chance of having their dua accepted than somebody who's healthy, for example. Okay, and subhanAllah, my dear sisters, you'll see a lot of sisters, I'm sure you've seen this for yourselves. Sisters, you'll see that they've gone through, like maybe Allah's tested them in some great trial, like she's been tested with a very severe sickness, like cancer, may Allah protect us, or some other sickness, like brain tumor or something like that. Have a look at her face. You feel as if she's been purified. SubhanAllah, sisters. You see how Allah has sweetened her. Go talk to those sisters. You'll see how Allah, you really feel Allah has sweetened them, literally sweetened them. And it's because Allah is purifying them. Every moment they're going through that test, Allah is continually purifying them. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told us that a believer will be tested so that the sins fall off them like the leaves of trees until they could be walking on the earth with not even one sin left on their body. Not even one sin left on their body, my dear sisters. And you have, and I want to remind you of something you probably have never thought about before. Do you know that nobody is going to enter Jannah with sin? Nobody's going to enter Jannah with sin. Nobody. So either you strive in this dunya through tawbah and istighfar and ibadah, acts of worship that purify, because we know that each time you pray, you get forgiveness of sins. Each time you take wudu, you get forgiveness of sins. When you go for umrah and hajj, you get forgiveness of sins. So everything, alhamdulillah, Allah is so kareem. Allah is so generous. He made all of our acts of worship as a means to get purified. Okay, so you can strive through ibadah. Another way is to get purified through your tests and trials. So you can be so purified from your tests and trials in this dunya that you leave this life with not one sin on your body. And always remind yourself, وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. Like, whatever trial you can go in this life is nothing in comparison to the trial in the grave. And it's nothing in comparison to the trial in the Jahannam. Wa'udhu billah. So to be purified in this life is a huge blessing, my dear sisters. It's a huge mercy that someone is trialed in this life and tested so that they become purified before they go to the Akhirah. So if a person is not purified in this life, then they get trialed in the grave. And that's a purification. For a believer, the trial in the grave is a purification. If that's not enough, due to the amount of sins that they did, the oppressions that they did to others, all those things, then may protect us. Allah purifies them in the Jahannam. Unless He chooses to forgive them on Yom Qiyamah. Because Allah can, someone could meet Allah with major sins on Yom Qiyamah that they did not repent for, Allah could choose to forgive them. But if He doesn't, then he chooses to purify them in the Jahannam wa'adhu billah. But as we know, nobody with an even atom's weight of iman will remain in the Jahannam. Nobody. So they will be purified and they will eventually enter Jannah. So that's what you have to realize. Nobody will enter Jannah with sins. So that's why we have to realize that we need to get purified from these sins, one way or another. So embrace your trials. And like I said, those people, subhanAllah, I'll give an example as well of this. Like my brother-in-law, Alayna Hamul, you know, subhanAllah, may Allah forgive him. Unfortunately, he fell into a lot of mistakes. You know, he married, for example, some non-Muslim women. He had kids, and those kids they don't even make dua for him until now because they're not Muslim. They haven't grown up to be Muslims, you know? And he was away from the path of Allah for a long time. You know, and he got involved with wrong things, subhanAllah. But then what happened was Allah tested him with a brain tumor. Now, I need to tell you this story because we need to learn from the lessons. This is a man, I'm telling you, you couldn't even mention something in front of him about Islam. He'd get angry, he'll leave the house. You mention something about Islam, he gets angry, he just leaves the house. He doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to hear any lecturing, nothing. Okay? I want to show you that he went from being like that to how he was in the end of his life. Allah Yarhamhu. He completely changed, my dear sisters. Allah chose him for this trial. Like, he got tested with this brain tumor, and this brain tumor was so severe. Like, he had about three different operations, but it was a very aggressive tumor. It kept coming back until it slowly went down his body. Like, he was a 6-foot man. Only 30, in his late 30s. A 6-foot man, a huge man, very strong. And yet, this brain tumor made him slowly lose it started in his legs. It started in his toes. He lost his sensation in his toes. Then it was his feet. He couldn't walk. And slowly it went up his legs. He couldn't walk anymore. So he's stuck in a bed. Right? It slowly moves up his body until he lost his eyesight. He lost his eyesight. For 9 months, he lay in bed, no eyesight. He can't move, nothing. And yet, the amazing thing that he, from this person who wasn't even patient at all, he became the most patient. I can't even explain the patience. Like, if you look at him, you won't even believe it. People come to him to remind him of Allah. He's the one reminding them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole time he's just doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole time he's lying in his bed, he's saying, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Over and over again, he's patient. How does somebody, wallahi, it's a miracle. How does somebody go from being someone who couldn't even stand people to talk to them about, for example, Islam or anything, to being someone who's so purified through their test? Like, subhanAllah, you know, they said that, you know, they were reading Sut Yasin for him as he was passing away, and his soul just came out so gently, you didn't even sense it. You didn't even sense it. Like, there was no struggle. There was not even any struggle for his soul to come out. He just went, he breathed like that, his soul came out like that. And he turned completely white the minute the soul came out of his body. Completely white. And then when they went to wash him, like Sheikh Abdus-Salam was one of the ones who washed him as well, along with my husband. They couldn't believe a 6-foot man, he was light like a feather. He was so light. SubhanAllah. Like, so what I'm trying to show you, dear sisters, is how Allah sweetens you. Don't think that this trial you're going through is not something good for you. It's from a mercy from Allah, but you don't realize it. That's why Allah says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Like, you don't like it, it's hard on you, it's bitter, it's very bitter, but you don't realize how Allah is purifying you. Haven't you seen, I always reflect on this, haven't you seen sisters who've been tested with special needs kids? Haven't you seen how beautiful are their hearts? How generous are those sisters, even their children? Wallahi, their children, I find they're not spoiled. Like, the majority of kids are just so self-centered and spoiled. I always find their children are the most giving children, the most caring children. So Allah makes it up for them in different ways. SubhanAllah, this is how Allah purifies us through our tests, my dear sisters. And then the other thing to remind yourself that you are not alone. When you're going through that test, you are not alone. You are not alone. Allah is with you. Allah says, "Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin." Allah is with the patient. He's with you. How is Allah with you? It's a very special way that Allah is with you. He's with you. He's supporting you. He's helping you. He's surrounding you with His rahmah. He's literally surrounding you with His rahmah, with His mercy. He's going to help you get through that. Like, haven't you seen, you look at someone going through a trial and you think, oh my God, how on earth is she going through this trial? Like, you can't even imagine, how can she go through this? And yet this person, subhanAllah, they're bearing it. They're actually bearing this trial. Why? Because Allah is helping them. You'll be very surprised how Allah can make you overcome your trials, as long as you've got the ikhlas and you take that step towards Allah. Like, what does that hadith say? You know, you take that step towards Allah, Allah comes to you with speed. So you have to just take that step. You have to take the initial step. But by you trying, just a little bit of a trying, that you'll find Allah will be helping you in so many more ways, greater than you can imagine. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the sabirin. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Give glad tidings to the patient. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. They are those who, when Allah trials them with a test, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What do these words mean? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Verily, we are from Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we are going back to Him. What are we anyway, sisters? What are we? How small are we? What are we? Yani, Allah has the choice to do with us whatever He wants. We are just a small atom. If you compare us to what's in this universe and what's in this world, we are just, yani, what are we in comparison to the rest of the creations, subhanAllah? We're just a small piece, a very, very small, like a grain of sand in this dunya, in this world, in these heavens and the earth, right? So Allah is free to do with us what He wants. And we're saying, Inna lillah, verily we are from Allah, wa inna ilayhi raja'un, and we're going back to Allah. When this is just a passing, it's a passing moment. This life is a passing moment. It's not going to last forever. It goes very fast. It goes very quickly. And before you know it, you're leaving this life. So these are the people who they realized that they are just a tiny piece in this huge, you know, universe. They're just a tiny piece of this huge universe, subhanAllah. And Allah has the right, you know, He has the right to do with His mulk, to do with His mulk whatever He wants. And so if Allah gives us, that's from His fadl. If Allah gives us, that's from His generosity. And if He withholds from us, then that's from His wisdom and His mercy, and He knows best for us. We have to realize Allah knows best for us. So, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجُعُونَ. You're accepting with your tongue al-qada'i wal-qadr. You're showing your acceptance with your tongue that you accept what Allah has written for you. And you know, and with that, you remind your heart, because it's very hard. Tests are never easy. It's easy for us to sit and talk about it, but when you go through, it's a whole different story. So you remind your heart, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And by that, your heart, you'll be able to get submission in your heart. You'll be able to get submission in your heart when you remind yourself with those words. And then Allah says, when they do that, because patience is the first shock. So you just, what you have to do is, the moment the shock comes, don't do anything, don't say anything except Inna lillahi. Hold yourself for a minute. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. if you do this, if you just say these words, stick to these words, like have them ready. Like if you're gonna fall down, you hold onto a bar. You reach out and hold onto a bar, right? I need you to have these words next to your head at all moments. That as soon as something's gonna come, you're gonna reach out and hold onto that. Inna lillahi. Even go like that with your hand to remember this lesson. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hold on to that. I'm telling you, if you do this, Allah says, ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahmah wa ulaika humul muhtadun. If you can do this at that moment, Allah tells us that ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim, that they will have Allah's praise and rahmah come down on them. Allah will give you an amazing ability to overcome this trial. Wa rahmah and mercy, wa ulaika humul muhtadun. They will be guided. Allah will help you. This is the trick. This is the trick to being patient, inshallah, in the test. And then remember, as you're going through the days of trial, remember, reflect on the rewards for the trial. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That those who are patient, Allah rewards them without hisab, without measure. Unlike the other deeds you do, you get rewarded from 10 to 700 times. But for patient is a reward without measure. And when you enter Jannah, sisters, when you leave this life of trials, when you leave this life of tests and hardships and bitterness, this temporary life, you'll enter Jannah. Those who were patient in this world for the sake of Allah, they enter Jannah. The angels greet them. From the first moment they step into Jannah, the angels surround them and they greet them, subhanAllah, into Jannah. This is from their rewards. This is from the treatment that they get when they enter Jannah. And they say, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. Salamu alaykum. Peace be upon you for what you endured, what you were patient with in that dunya. But now you've reached a place where there is no more trials. There is no more pain. There is no more hardship. There is no more depression. There's no more anxiety. There's no more. You're never going to hear anyone say something that makes you sad. You're never going to hear any news that makes you like upset. There's no more of that. All you ever hear is the beautiful, you know, dhikr of the malaika and, you know, the dhikr of the mu'mineen and the peace and the happiness and the blessings that's in Jannah, subhanAllah, that never ends. You never have to worry that it's going to come to an end. Like in this dunya, we're always worried. Like when we're sitting with our family, laughing, having fun, you reflect on yourself. The day is going to come. Either I'm going to die or one of them, Allah's going to test me with one of them. That's the reality, my dear sisters. Sooner or later, we're sitting here today, happy, laughing, but trust me, sooner or later the day is going to come. You know, let's say it now. We're going to say it a bit emotional, but my dear sisters, reflect on this. The day is going to come. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah bless us in this gathering together. I'm going to get emotional. But the day is going to come when Allah is going to take me. The day is going to come when one of us is not going to be here. You know, one of you is not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. The day is going to come. We're not going to be here forever, subhanAllah. That's the reality. So that's why we shouldn't take these things for granted. Like now, you probably say to yourself, oh, I'm tired to go to the lesson today. I can't be bothered going. But wallahi, one day is going to come. I won't be here to give the lesson. Inshallah, there'll be somebody else. But that's the reality. Even myself, I might get tired and say to myself, I'm tired to go to the lesson today. One, you know, when I had my operation 2 months ago, I couldn't come to give the lesson. And then I missed the lesson so much. Like sometimes, I'll be honest, I feel like, oh, subhanAllah, I've got so much to do. How am I going to go to the lesson today, you know? But then when I had my operation, I couldn't come for the lesson. I said to myself, subhanAllah, without the lesson, my life is dead. You know what I mean? And I couldn't come. And I'm thinking if you know, a day might come where Allah trials me with a sickness where I can't give the lesson anymore. I can't give the lesson anymore, subhanAllah. So, Yani, if that was just a temporary sickness, what about if I'm in trial where I can't give it anymore at all? And that day will come sooner or later, subhanAllah. So that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves, my dear sisters. That's why if you're mindful of these things, stop focusing on what you don't have. Stop focusing. Let me tell you something, sisters. Stop focusing on what you don't have. Stop focusing on the bitterness of what life has thrown at you and start trying to enjoy what you do have, because otherwise you're allowing your past to rob your present. You're not only suffering from your past, but you're allowing your past to even steal from your present now, that you never enjoy even your present. You know, I know some sisters, they told me such sad stories. They had, for example, a bad relationship with their mother. Okay, they had a very bad relationship with their mother. Their mother never, ever appreciated them. No matter what she does for her mother, they never appreciate them. If the mother chose, they could have lived a happy life together, a beautiful relationship between a daughter and mother. But sadly, that mother chose, she's always going to be unhappy with her daughter. Never pleased. Never says a good word to her daughter to thank her even for what she's done. And then at the end of her life, at the very end of her life, when she's about to leave the life, she starts to realize what she had in a daughter. Isn't it sad that you have to wait to your deathbed to realize what Allah had given you? You could have lived a happy life with your child, but instead you decided you chose a miserable life. Because trust me, misery is a choice. Misery is a choice, my dear sisters. Just as happiness is a choice too. So you can choose. You can choose to focus on what Allah has given you and enjoy the blessings you've got. And realize that what you, even if you've got that test, alhamdulillah, your test is still a million times better than other people's tests. Like if Allah has tested you with a bad man, with a bad husband, and he treated you so badly, and he has, you know, and look at the state you're in. You're a single mother now. You have to go through all these hardships now because of this man neglecting you, neglecting your children. But let's be honest. Alhamdulillah, you're living in Australia. You're not living in Syria. You're not living in Palestine. You're not living in Africa. You know, as a single mother trying to survive, to put even a morsel of bread in your child's mouth. So, you know what I'm trying to say, sisters? So it's all about perspective. You can focus on what you don't have, and you can just, what's the word? You can wallow in your misery, basically. You can sit there and choose to wallow in your misery, or you can choose to say, alhamdulillah, yes, this is a big test. I'm not going to acknowledge it's not a big test. It is a big test. But you know what? I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to focus on what I do have. I'm going to focus that Allah has given me so much more than what other people have. You want to know how to make yourself feel happy, sisters? Go to visit a sister lying on her deathbed suffering from cancer. When my brother-in-law was dying, you know his tumor was protruding out of his head. His tumor grows so big, his head was like this, sisters. It was protruding out of his head. The skull changed. You've got a skull. His tumor was so strong, it was lumps all coming out of his head. And he couldn't see. He's blind. He's completely paralyzed. He can only move his tongue. When you go visit someone like that, my dear sisters, trust me, no matter what trial you're going through, you'll come home, you say, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That's the thing. We're always comparing to what other people, what they have, and we're not looking to the people who've been trialed so much greater than us. So this is how to have resilience, my dear sister. This is how to teach yourself resilience. Stop looking up and start looking down, and then you'll realize, alhamdulillah. Okay, so this is some of the things that I can mention to you, inshallah. And this is why, exactly why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا أُوْتِيَ أَحَدٌ أَعْطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. That a person has not been given anything which is better, and you know, which is, you know, better for them than patience. If you've been given patience, this is the best thing you could be given. You know why? Because you will learn how to be tranquil. You will find peace of heart. You'll come to terms with whatever's going on. You'll learn to let go. You learn to let go of what's happening. You, of course, you know, if we can change, like often you're in a situation where you can look for ways out. We shouldn't just, don't just stay in a situation and say, oh, this is what Allah's destined for me. Like you've got no money, for example. You've got no money. You haven't enough money to pay the rent. You're struggling each week to pay your electricity bill. Do I just sit there and make dua and hope that my situation will change? No, I have to be proactive. I look for doors of how I can get out of this situation. What are some plans that I can do? What skills do I have that I could use to make some money to get out of my situation? So you look for ways out. There's always a way out, dear sisters, but you've got to look for it. You've got to ask Allah to help you find the way out. Don't just stay in that situation, because the longer you stay in it, it makes you stagnant. It immobilizes you. You're not able to be productive and you can't move on in your life. So look for the ways out, right? And if you can't, sometimes you're going through something, you just can't change it. There are sometimes at this point in time, you're just not able to change it. There's nothing you can do. That's when you just have to let go. And you say to yourself, and you say to Allah, Ya Allah, help me to overcome this trial right now and help me to find a way out in the future. Okay, so that has to be our approach. But there's no point getting bitter about it, asking why, blaming, excuse me, blaming, feeling sorry for myself. All of that is not going to help. Like, yes, by all means, when you go through something, you do need to heal yourself. Like, it's like when you get a wound. You know, if somebody wounded you, you're going to feel pain in the beginning and you have to treat yourself. I'm not saying that you shouldn't treat yourself. Like, so allow yourself, don't say to yourself, why am I feeling angry? I'm a mu'min, I shouldn't feel angry. Don't say to yourself, why am I sad? I'm a mu'min, I shouldn't feel sad. The Prophet ﷺ himself felt sad. He cried. He cried. When he went through trials, he cried. But he didn't say something against what Allah is pleased with. Okay, that's the difference. So you can cry. You can, you know, you're allowed to cry. You're allowed to have emotions. You're not a robot. So don't say to yourself, why am I upset? I'm a mu'min. Because you're putting more pressure on yourself like that. Allow yourself to be angry. Allow yourself to be sad. But don't stay like that for years and years. You understand? Like, so go through the, you need, like, grief, as you know, if you study psychology and that, grief has a process. You need to go through the process, but don't get stuck on the processes. So go through the state of grief, go through the state of anger, move through them, you know, with your iman, with your belief in al-qada'i wal-qadr, but you're trying to move forward. You don't want to stay stuck in one stage. That's the point we should be trying to aim towards, my dear sisters. Okay, I'm going to finish, inshallah. So always make that dua. We have to always make dua. Like from the duas, you can say, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Like, Ya Allah, pour upon us patience and let us die as Muslims. You know, pour upon us patience. We need Allah to pour patience on us. We honestly, literally need Allah to pour patience upon us. So always make this dua. And besides that, my dear sisters, realize that you have everything. Allah has given you everything already to be able to be patient with whatever He destines you with. Like Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Don't underestimate your ability to overcome your trials. And know that if you In order to become stronger in overcoming your trial, you need to maintain your connection with Allah. Do not try to overcome it on your own and try to think you're self-sufficient. You have to maintain your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be steadfast on your adhkar. Be even more diligent. When you're going through a trial, try to make yourself even more diligent on making lots of dhikr of Allah, on doing your adhkar, on reading as much Quran as you can. Push yourself to your prayers, even if you don't even feel like praying them. You push yourself. You be hard on yourself and you just say, I have to do this. I need this to keep myself anchored. Right? And after that, I ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us all steadfast in this life. I ask Allah Ta'ala to pour patience upon all of us. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to let us all use the tools that He's given us to remain patient, to remember Him day and night, to pray to Him always, be steadfast upon our prayers, and to call upon Him day and night in dua, and seek the means to come close to Him always, inshallah. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to unite us with the most patient people who walked on the face of this earth, from the Nabiyeen, the Prophets, and the Siddiqeen, the sincere believers, and the Shuhada, the martyrs, and the Salihin, the righteous believers. I ask Allah that for every one of us who are patient in this life, He unites us with the Prophets, and with the Siddiqeen, and with the martyrs, and with the Salihin, inshallah, in the Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. And always remember that nothing is wasted with Allah, not even the prick of a finger. No anxiety that a believer suffers is wasted with Allah. No depression, no day of sadness. Nothing you go through, my dear sisters, is wasted with Allah Ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.